popcorn, pickles, pickles, popcorn.
Pickles, peanut butter, pickles, pickles.
Hey, this is Take Note, a show about keeping a notebook, attention and distraction, and appreciating the ridiculous and the ubiquitous things that make up our days. Ted, what do you got?
What do I got? Let me just open up the old Field Notes notebook here. This is a note I took today. I surfed on over to the Jaguar website, which is that record company.
Uh-huh.
Because a little while ago, I decided for some reason that if I wanted to find new music, I should just go to record companies I like instead of just, I don't know, relying on NPR to tell me. So anyway, I was over there today, saw a band called Nap Eyes. Nap Eyes. And I fired their work up on Spotify, and a line caught my eye. Stargazer, won't you lend me your laser?
Wow.
That's Nap Eyes.
It's not Nappies?
Might be Napayes, but it's one is two words. Napay seems like one of those. What's your long term goal with the band name Napayes? I can barely say it. Anyway, I really liked their stuff, and that one particular line caught my ear, so I scribbled it down. I don't do that often. I don't write down song lyrics frequently, but occasionally I have to remind myself that, you know, when you think to yourself, "Oh, nobody reads poetry." But we all of us constantly listen to poetry set to music constantly, which in a way is kind of a big vote for poetry.
I don't retain lyrics well, so I kind of reject that. Not to be difficult, you're saying that I'm jealous, really. You're saying you listen to poetry all the time. And I feel like the lyrics just go in one ear and out the other.
Well, I'm not saying they don't. I mean, I had to write it down.
Right.
But if you're really asking yourself, does anybody ever listen to poetry? You know, songs rhyme. Those are poems. So poetry is, let's just say, it's closer to us than we think. I'm not saying I have some amazing relationship to song lyrics. Now that you mention it, there was something I think about fairly, or I thought about it recently, was reading song lyrics. Like if you don't know the lyrics to a song, like finding the lyrics. I've always felt in some way like that was slightly cheating. But then I did it the other day, and it really opened up a song for me.
What song?
Well, it's a Brandi Carlile song. Called The Joke, right? And so there's this big sweeping, the sort of culmination of every chorus is this booming declaration with her. She's got an amazing voice and she just is bellowing it out. And I couldn't understand what she was saying at this crucial key moment. So I looked it up and it would turn out to be great. The joke's on them. That was the line that I didn't understand. But she sings it in this crazy way. But she's saying the joke's on them, which is like an awesome way to end a chorus. What do you got?
Yeah, I've got a Chuck E. Bagel situation here. The snow melted in Chicago. And in our shrubs, I found a thoroughly chewed up bagel. Enough bagel remained where I was able to identify it as bagel. We didn't know we were missing a bagel. We didn't know what was happening. So that was maybe 5 days ago or something. Today, I bring the garbage can in from the curb, and at the bottom of the garbage, you know, all the garbage is gone, but at the bottom of the garbage can, that Chuck E. Bagel is still there. Can't get rid of it.
So you tossed it, and it didn't want to leave the can.
Yeah, so I like to imagine that the bagel just won't leave my house or my property. I think the reality is that I got a sticky garbage can, I guess, and it was at the bottom of it.
Well, okay, so you'd say chewed up bagel. I think chewed up by whom or by what?
Could be by one of my kids. Could be by a squirrel that found a bagel. I have no real payday for a squirrel, too.
Or a passing motorist could have chucked it out the window of their car like someone in the 80s might have done.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably. People throwing bagels at us. That's probably what's happening. Which, you know, generally I'd be fine with if I caught them.
So what was the note? How did you mark that occasion?
Oh, I wrote the chewed up bagel I found in a shrub 5 days ago. Spotted it at the bottom of the garbage can after the garbage pickup. Chucky bagel.
What does that mean, Chucky bagel?
It's like that doll you can't get rid of. In the movies. In those Chucky movies. I haven't seen those movies. Maybe that's not what they're about. But I've always understood them to be about a evil possessed doll.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you throw him out and he keeps coming back and murdering you. Yeah, the bagel has not yet started murdering anyone.
To be clear.
Yeah. What else do you have, Ted?
I was listening to our guy, Paul Holler, the Zen teacher.
Yep.
Zen Buddhist teacher. And he said something I thought was interesting, caught my ear. He says a lot of things that catch my ear. This actually is an interesting tie-in to our poetry conversation because Paul Holler, I encourage anyone to head over to Apple Podcasts and just search for the name Paul Holler and any result with Zen in the title, take a listen. But he's a Zen teacher who has a deep appreciation for poetry as occupying the same mental space that Zen does. But one of the things he said was that the goal of Zen and of meditation, more specifically, is to achieve a wordless, thoughtless perception. As when you hear a sound, but you don't feel that you have to name that sound. You know, to me, Zen is about thinking about what it is that hears a sound. So you hear a sound. What does it mean to hear a sound? And then what does it mean for you to put a name to that sound?
And I would understand it kind of as you're trying to subtract the filter of language, but I would imagine that you wouldn't want to think of it in terms of subtraction.
Yeah, I would almost think of it as taking a look from a slight remove, investigating what it is about yourself that gives sound a name. So not even that you have to not know that you're naming it, but that you take a step back and say, what am I naming that sound? Why am I naming that sound? What happens if I give that sound a new name? Or what happens if I... And you caught me. And, you know, and I, another note I had, I had this as a separate note, but I realized there's something of an overlap, is each night recently, in the last couple of weeks, we've gone out. If we're outside, we've heard a bird call just after the sun goes down in the evening, just kind of a... And one of those enjoyable diversions you go on with your kids is you decide you're going to figure out what's making that sound. So in a sense, we've spent the last couple of weeks trying to name a sound. And the act of naming that sound is this kind of investigation, which, you know, that's the literal naming of a sound. So you have a sound that you don't have a name for, but you decide that you're going to name it. So here I find that disparate entries in my notebooks, maybe they're a little more connected than I thought.
That bird sound you made was amazing. Topped only by the sound that you made of your dog entering the room and shaking a bit. You've really got a talent for this.
I'm wearing his cup. No, I'm not wearing his cup. You got anything else you want to move on?
I do. I enjoyed that Zen stuff. But I've got stuff about getting a haircut in my notebook. So I'm not going to, I don't want to say exactly where my son Logan and I went to get our haircut, but I will say that he said, "Dad, don't get a supercut. They're $17. So we went and got our haircut, and I'm sitting, he's getting his haircut by the one lady cutting the hair. I'm getting my haircut by the other lady. There's nobody else in the place. It's two haircut ladies. It's two web boys. And, yeah, our backs are to each other. You know, I'm kind of keeping an eye on him. He's saying cute things to the haircut lady. My haircut lady is asking questions about him, but like funny questions. Like, she goes, "Is he into drama?" Which, you know, he is, but not exactly what she means necessarily. And then, I don't know, he said, he, you know, if anybody asks him what he wants to be when he grows up or whatever, he always says video game designer. And so, you know, the lady cutting my hair heard that. She goes, "Oh, he wants to be a video game designer. Have you seen Grandma's Boy?" I think she said, which is some movie. And I was like, "No, I haven't." And she didn't explain how the two thoughts connected. She just said, she just goes, "You should really watch it. Really funny. Don't watch it with him. Lots of pot jokes." Which I liked that across the room, you know, we're sort of secretly having adult discussion while he's just, you know, giggling and squirming under the clippers. So so the day after that, I go into work with my new haircut, and I got a I got the quintessential non compliment. I got a guy goes, "You got a haircut?" And I'm grinning, and I, "Yeah." Silence. I met with silence. Says nothing. And then I go, "I needed it." Silence again. Just nothing.
So not only was he starting from a position of really casting doubt on whether you had gotten a haircut at all, but then just no closure.
It was very clear that I had a haircut. I mean, I needed one pretty badly.
Well, but having gotten a haircut is a double-edged sword, because if he were to say, "Oh, yeah, it looks great," then he would be, in essence, saying, you did look like a piece of garbage. Now you've righted the ship here."
No, listen,
it's an insult in and of itself.
I like that you're throwing me into doubt here in general, but I think you're completely wrong. There's nothing wrong with anyone ever saying, "Oh, you got a haircut. That looks great." There's nothing wrong with that. There is not the that does not mean you really needed it.
All right. In the culture, what's your recommendation? Give me something. Give me something to work with. Some arts.
I watched the Cloverfield movie that they announced the night of the Super Bowl, and that it was up the night of the Super Bowl. Watched it that night. Actually really enjoyed it. And there's something about really liking a movie and then a couple days pass and you see that it's got 19% on Rotten Tomatoes that'll just shake you to your core. Like, and all the reviews are, they're right about what's wrong with the movie. But I think they're maybe all wrong about the degree to which it matters. It's not supposed to be a masterpiece. It's not a masterpiece. It seemed fun to me.
So they're wrong. They're wrong about what's right, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the criticism is all valid, but it seems like I enjoyed this movie, damn it, and don't take that away from me.
So on a scale of 1 to Kong Skull Island, what do you give this? For me, every terrible movie is now measured against Kong Skull Island.
Right. Well, I've never watched Kong Skull Island all the way through, but I've seen it all, and I think it's a masterpiece. to me, maybe that's how you should see this movie. You should start in the middle on an airplane, then see the end, and then have the movie immediately restart. I don't know. Yeah, that might be the way it goes.
Like, the beginning is might be more appealing if you were like, "Huh, I wonder how this movie began."
Yeah, exactly. Also, you know, every sci-fi movie that doesn't explain its really clever sci-fi premise, that's always under attack. Like, it had this great premise, but it didn't, you know, nothing happened. I don't know. I think that's every sci-fi movie. It's got a great premise. There's no solution. It's bullshit. It's a sci-fi movie. It's not going to work itself out. What about you, Ted? You have any recommendations?
Brandi Carlile is my recommendation. She's got a few new tracks out. She's got an album, I think, dropping in March. But she kind of blows my mind. Like, she's got this voice that just wins the day. It wins the day. And she's a really good songwriter. And
I've heard the name. What kind of music?
Well, if I was, let's see, it's probably in the Americana, not quite country, but not quite pop realm. Singer songwriter, but she's a more of a wailer.
Is she like a Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, like a Lucinda? Is she like that type?
She's like not like that, but she's just a great singer.
I will check her out. You want to move on to tools?
Let's go for it. Your wife recommended me a product, and I took her up on that recommendation. It's called Mod Podge.
Oh, yeah.
So I, instead of, you know, finding stickers, which I really like the idea of stickers, but I'm not much for finding them or buying them or doing whatever it is that people do to get cool stickers. I just decided to make my own, which means I print them on a laser printer and glue them onto my field notes. That's pretty much the extent of it. Now, your wife recommended Mod Podge, which it's all I can do not to call it Mod Podge.
Uh-huh, me too.
But it's just kind of glue stuff, but it dries clear. So I pretty much just lacquered all of my make them at home pseudo notebook stickers. So now I have this cool coating instead of just, you know, old office paper glued to a notebook. It's like got this kind of like veneer on top of it.
So how did it work?
It worked really well. It's fun. I got my daughter to help them. It adheres these things and it gives them that a little more sense of like, really kind of like a sticker, like more integrated into the cover. The one caveat is that I jam them in my back pocket. So there was a period of time where my wallet was glued to my field notes. Other than that, a wild success.
I'm glad you did this because my wife's idea was that we would both do this, and I hate sticky, messy, oozy things. So I'm glad that you got it done. I don't have anything new that I'm using right now, but today Field Notes released this special edition, the Mondo, Landland, Burlesque, Draplin edition. Each of the different printmakers, designers sold them on their own websites. They released them at noon today, and they kind of look like they're poster test prints on top of poster test prints. They look like a mess. And everybody's going nuts for it, and it's kind of funny. They've done similar notebooks before in years past, and I've gotten one or two, and they're not, you know, they're not like my style necessarily. I like simple, but when that email came out and I saw on the Field Notes page on Facebook, everybody was super excited about it, and people are counting down the minutes. I just did that thing that is like ingrained in me from being a comic book collector when I was a teenager or whatever. I had to buy a pack. So I bought them today. I won't have them for a week or so. I thought it was interesting that I've got way too many of these little notebooks and I couldn't resist dropping, I don't know, $16 on three more.
Do those count as the quarterly edition?
They do not. They do not. They're even more limited than those quarterly editions.
Well, they look really cool. So, I mean, if you're into the aesthetics of the books, it makes the Fuhrer seems to suggest that they might be limited in their availability.
Yeah, they've got like less than 10,000 of them. I don't know. They've got about 10,000 of them or something.
All right, when you receive them in the mail, do you think that the excitement will be as high as the excitement of getting your order in?
Yeah, you know, potentially. I mean, that's the whole thing. You don't know what they're going to look like. But in my experience from years past, you know, like they've got the most attractive ones. I don't know. Maybe this is cynical. But, you know, they use the most attractive ones they've made since they all look a little different. They use the best looking ones for the ads. And they've just not been the notebook in the past that I've gone to. So, I don't know. I'll open them up and maybe I'll be really pleasantly surprised. But, you know, nobody made me buy them.
You know, someone posed the question on one of the Facebook groups that it seems to be more in the norm, asking kind of how many notebooks other people have, or if they're, hey, are you guys as crazy as I am about this kind of thing? It's a little funny to see this sort of self-consciousness arising among this community of people. Maybe it's always been a part of it.
I feel like there's not enough self-consciousness.
I mean, I had this vague sense of satisfaction that I can truly say I've got another blank field notes after this one, and then I'm going to have to find some more, which I think works well for me. If I'm going to go out and find some, I'd rather do it because I need them, you know, kind of right then. That's kind of my style with it.
That sounds much healthier.
Let's do this again, Adam.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ted.